Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We always look forward to this journey together on Let's Face the Issues. Your dialogue and input has a lot to do with what we say and what we do and the going forth of this broadcast. Let me remind you once again that Let's Face the Issues, the entire broadcast is designed around a Q&A format. You can ask the questions. We can provide the answers. Your questions, by the way, can be in any category, that of what is referred to so often as political, social, economic. It could be something dealing with the church, theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. Because, you see, God created the home, He created the government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. So anything that we discuss as Christians, contrary to what multitudes think, say, and have preached from the pulpit for the past 50 years, talking about political issues, talking about social issues and current issues, are not unbiblical. In fact, they are inextricably linked with what the Word of God says from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. It is a biblical worldview. I call it a centrist, central biblical worldview, where we take the Word of God and we look at it as truth. It is a truth book. And as we look at the Word of God, it gives instructions for our lives in every category of life and living. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let's not forget it. Let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, that we can have dialogue and discussion together. We're going to be talking about a variety of issues today. We had good reports and good responses to what we call bits and pieces a few days ago. We've just simply chosen to call it today open mic. Let's discuss the issues, open mic. And many times you have issues that you want to talk about that perhaps we have not covered, and you perhaps have not felt it necessary to jump in with an issue or a thought. We'll be covering several current issues today, all of which I believe are inextricably linked to our Christian faith and to the future of the church and to the future of the United States of America. We'll be talking about that in a moment. We're going to have an elongated monologue. During the course of that monologue, we can set the stage of where we're going. And then you feel free to dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Ask your questions, give your input. Love to hear from you and your response, your thoughts, suggestions in relationship to the issues that we shall discuss today. But let me remind you, as we face them, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people say they misquote the verse, and they take the verse out of context and take part of the verse. Many say, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Or some will just simply say, "The truth shall make you free." But there's a precursor to that. If you continue in My word. One of the greatest needs in America today, even among Christians, is to continue in the Word of God. Let the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God direct our lives, direct our footsteps, and give us insight and wisdom for carrying out what God would have us to do. Jesus made that statement, "And the truth shall make you free," in John 8:31 and 32. So the key to knowing the truth and the truth setting us free is to continue in the Word of God. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then, ladies and gentlemen, in John 17:17, Jesus identifies truth fully when He says, "Thy word is truth." It is the truth of the Word of God that carries the weight and not what I think, say, or do, or what you might have as your philosophy or ideological bent or your denominational dogma. It's a matter of what does the Word of God say. In fact, truth is a word that is shied away from. Truth is a word that is basically trounced upon, trodden upon, and rejected today in society. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But I like what was said by Jan Hus. Jan Hus, a 15th century church reformer and theologian. Jan Hus said, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. It was Trey Gowdy that was the former U.S. House of Representatives that left Washington, said he wasn't going to run for re-election. When interviewed on Fox News as to why, he said he discovered that in Washington, they do not seek truth, they do not know what truth is, and nothing they do in Washington, he said, is about finding truth and honoring truth. And he said, as a prosecutor, he always felt that the key to a court case was to seek the truth, listen to both sides, and find the truth. He said, Washington, in the Washington Beltway, dealing with the, I call them the loose likes, lost liberals, the socialist Marxist Democrats, he said, they didn't seek for truth, were not concerned about truth at all, and didn't want to have anything more to do with Washington. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to start up your own landscape lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner and the brands like Honda and Echo. And Tools for Time also carries the full line of landscape and lawn care equipment, not only for the professional, but also for the homeowner, including hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the equipment that is marketed and backup power equipment also. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time, located at I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road intersection. It's toolsfortime.com. Toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you watched the circus yesterday. Perhaps you watched the shenanigans taking place in the Capitol yesterday with the death dirge marching across the Capitol Rotunda from the U.S. House to the Senate chambers to present the impeachment articles carried out by the Socialist Marxist Democrats. The Republican, one of the Republican House members just explained to us the reason. I've forgotten, I don't know whether it's Cotton or which one of the Republican House of Representatives members being interviewed this morning on Fox News explained the reason for Nancy Pelosi's waiting for 4 weeks to transmit the articles of impeachment to the Senate. He said, I quote, perhaps she was waiting for the name engraved impeachment signing pens to arrive, end quote. I don't know if you noticed her signing the impeachment articles. She had a stack of pens, and the camera zoomed in on them. They were apparently gold-overlaid pens and portion of the pen with gold engraving, having her name, her signature engraved on the side of the pen. I think probably, ladies and gentlemen, American taxpayers probably spent $50 to $100 a piece for those pens, if not more. And they looked like a stack of maybe 100 pens. She used a few of them to sign and then passed them all out like popcorn at a rally. At a football game is the way it was handled, and the taxpayers taking care of the bill for that. It was a gleeful moment for Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if you noticed that. In fact, she kept on talking about how history was in the making and what history has said and what history has done. And then she repeated about five different times in the different portions of her speech and her conversation about President Trump will be impeached forever. It will be a historic event, that his impeachment is forever. She kept implying that she is intent on besmirching President Trump's character and his reputation by saying the impeachment is forever. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, the House and their march from the after the ramblings of Nancy Pelosi about the impeachment, making history and the course that was taking. And she was thinking about her history is what she was talking about, but she kept saying something about history. And all of this was being viewed as a solemn yet off camera, as very solemn. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, off camera, they were doing fist bumps and they were saluting each other. And there was laughter and there was joy and merriment in the House chambers after the signing had taken place and was away from the camera. The fake news reporting on this fiasco that was taking place. I've forgotten the commentator's name on the fake news that said when he thought about Barack Obama that hair stood up on the back of his leg. But he said that this whole event with her talking about history and with signing the impeachment articles, that it had such a religious tone to it that it was a powerful, powerful moment for Nancy Pelosi. Ladies and gentlemen, she was thinking about her history and her mark in history and what she's done. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm told that some of the special autographed pins, even after the ceremony, were placed on eBay for the highest buyer, the highest bidder, simply using it as a marketing tool for Nancy Pelosi and the socialist Marxist Democrats. I am appalled by it, ladies and gentlemen. And almost all of the so-called House managers for the impeachment of the president, the presentment of those impeachment articles, and for the managers of those impeachment articles are all anti-Trumpers from the very start. All of them. All of the seven that sent over from the House to the Senate to present the impeachment articles, every one of them are anti-Trumpers. Every one of them, I believe with the exception of perhaps one, had been saying for the past 2.5 years, 3 years, that President Trump need to be impeached. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to your question or comment, please.
I'm going to switch topics, if I may, because this is the first time I've called you. I've always listened to you at night on 100.3, and I was unaware of your live daytime broadcast. And now that I have found it, I'd like to review a couple things you've said over the past couple of weeks. You talked about a school district in Chatham, New Jersey, where they were trying to brainwash the kids with Islam in the textbooks and in the curriculum. A couple of parents sued the school district, but that's old news. That happened 2 years ago in January of 2018. Would you happen to know the outcome of that case, which the last I heard, it was before a judge in federal district court in Newark, New Jersey?
Wonderful that you asked that question. By the way, it's not old news. It's old news when the initial event took place there, but it's not old news in that it is still continuing in the courts, and the appeals court has not rendered a decision yet. In fact, it's not just in that school district in New Jersey. It's happening across America with every school district and just about every state in the United States of America where Islam has crept in. It's creeping Sharia where Islam has crept in. In fact, you can research it, and I would challenge you to find me wrong. The 99% of the textbooks in the United States of America approved by the U.S. Department of Education are either published by Islamic publishing houses or publishing houses controlled by Islamic leaders and are the authorship, those that write the books. There's five times more said about Islam in a positive sense than is said about Christianity and Judaism combined. In fact, just in 2018 and 2019, just down in South Florida, there was a 10th grade student because he questioned his teacher in the teacher saying that Islam was greater than Christianity and some diatribe about the praise for Islam. He simply asked the question. She summarily had him dismissed from school, and there's a case now pending in the courts in South Florida. Yes, there's a major problem because our schools are requiring the students to repeat the Shahada, and the Shahada is the conversion prayer from any other religion to Islam, and they're requiring them to make up and put on mock dress and act as Islamics in the classroom. They're providing them with prayer rugs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We are Islamicizing our students in the United States school system, promulgated and paid for by U.S. tax dollars.
Okay, so that case in Newark, New Jersey is still live, and there still has yet to be a decision handed down, as far as you know.
Absolutely. In 99% of the cases, there will be the constitutional law firms that are doing it pro bono to handle these cases to protect the religious liberties and the freedom of speech and our First Amendment rights in the classrooms for the students. And I believe it was Liberty Counsel, or one of those that was handling that particular case. I don't recall from memory. But yes, many times they will try to, how would you say, in the silence of night, sign off on an agreement that they'll not do that again. However, unless there's an investigation on a continuing basis, they continue to do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, that school district, when the parents first sued, the school district filed a motion to dismiss the case, but the judge said, no, because this is uncharted territory, we're going to let the case proceed. Okay, another item I wanted to ask you about. Right around that same time, 2 years ago, hopefully I got the right name here. I believe it's a group called the James Kennedy Ministries in Coral Gables. Are you familiar with them?
I'm familiar with it, not intimately, but I'm familiar with the name, yes.
Okay. They sued the Southern Poverty Law Center for defamation. Would you happen to know the outcome of that case?
I do not, but they're not the only one. There is a whole plethora of suits against the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is their organization is antithetical to anything that's called truth or justice whatsoever. In fact, the best source that you could go to is Liberty Counsel website. Liberty Counsel is involved with a major, if I can say again, major battle with the Southern Poverty Law Center, because Southern Poverty Law Center has basically dissed and tried to discriminate against every Christian religious organization in the United States of America, calling them hate groups. Southern Poverty Law Center has several hundred million dollars, in fact, right close to $1 billion, that is parked offshore so that the United States government cannot touch it or have anything to do with it. They are the most despicable, ungodly, demonic organization in the world that stands against Christianity and religious liberties.
The Southern Poverty Law Center is an anti-Christian hate group.
Yes.
Next thing I wanted to ask you about, I've been listening to you at night on 100.3, and frequently when you refer to homosexuals, frequently you use the term LGBT. I wish you would stop using that term, because that is a political term that the radical left, specifically the Human Rights Campaign, created that term for political empowerment purposes. So when you use that term, you're letting them control the narrative and the dialogue there. So just call them what they are: gays and lesbians.
No, they're not gays and lesbians. They're sodomites. You don't find the word gay or lesbian in the scripture. You find the word sodomite and sodomy 38 times. And the Bible also refers to them as having a reprobate mind in Romans chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. And when I refer to it as the LGBTQ, it's the LGBTQ PI, because they're adding different letters to the acronym almost daily. And when you talk about the LGBTQI, you're identifying who they are. It's the lesbian, gays, homosexuals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and including the term queers in that acronym. And it directly identifies who they are. Otherwise, you're not being, how would you say, principled in your declaration of what they are and what they're doing and why we should stand against them. It's because, yes, it is a political movement. Yes, it started back in the mid-70s. Yes, they have been on an incremental basis trying to gain ground, when in America they have less than 4% of the American population, but they control policy and politics across the United States of America, including right here in Jacksonville, including in the state of Florida, and every other state in America. They have representatives and representative groups in every state, and their game plan is to undermine, tear down, and destroy the Christian church, and ultimately to break the door down and force the churches and every denomination to embrace their sodomite lifestyle.
To force them to perform gay homosexual marriages, and if they don't, they would lose their tax-exempt status.
Absolutely. That's part of the game plan. And you can research it online. You have House Bill 5 that Nancy Pelosi and 240 of the socialist Marxist Democrats signed off on about 5 months ago. And it has 46 signatures from senators in the U.S. Senate. if it ever sees daylight and becomes law, it will destroy the New Testament church and Christians. It literally, in fact, in the bill, it says it trumps, that means takes precedence over the religious liberties and the freedom of speech that's granted to us in our Bill of Rights.
Yes, it would. Also, you know something, too, in the early 80s, the sodomites, they created three new words, homophobe, homophobic, and homophobia. Those words never existed before 1980, if you look at any of the old dictionaries. They created those terms, and they used them as a battering ram against people such as yourself. Well, then what happened was the Muslims saw how well it worked for the homosexuals, so the Muslims created Islamophobe, Islamophobia, and Islamophobic. See how it works?
You're exactly right. They found that the tool, the instrument of using it as a battering ram worked, and it is working well. In fact, one of the things that is sad for the Christian and for the conservative in America is that we find the politicians are bowing and bending to anything that would be deemed Islamophobic for them or homophobic for them, and so therefore they are simply allowing these things to take place in America. We no longer have the proper representation in the House and the Senate in Tallahassee or in Washington.
Well, if you notice, there's a lot of similarities between the homosexuals and the Muslims, and that's because they have one common goal, and that is the destruction of Christianity.
You've got it. Absolutely. You're exactly right. And what they're not recognizing, what the sodomites do not recognize, they're holding hands with their enemy, that if the enemy, i.e. Islam, ever prevails, and they will eventually prevail based on the demographers telling us that they will control America by 2050, and time they do, the heads will come off of the sodomites on a national basis.
Well, listen, I'm going to call you back sometime because I got a lot more to talk about, but I just looked at the clock and realized what time it is. By the way, I live only a block away from that huge American flag that you have there by 295. Thank you for waving that so proudly every day as you do, sir.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. Thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about open mic today with Let's Discuss the Issues, and we started off with the dialogue and the monologue in relationship to the fiasco that's taking place in Washington as we speak, and whether we recognize it or not. You might ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, why should a Christian be concerned about this that's taking place with the impeachment proceedings? Why should the conservative be concerned? Ladies and gentlemen, because it's a farce. It is an absolute charade. It is an absolute one that would be an inequity. It is one that is an illegal, unconstitutional impeachment that is moving forward. And the thing that should worry and concern and cause consternation for every Christian and for every conservative today is that if this is successful, if they're able to remove President Donald J. Trump, of whom, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I've told you time and time again that I believe is in office today as a result of the divine intervention of God, that placed him there for the preservation and the protection of the religious liberties and the freedom of speech in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians and conservatives, we must pray. And listen, I want you to understand, it deserves, these actions in Washington deserve, demand, and absolutely require Christians to be constantly in prayer before God, asking God to once again intervene and on behalf of our president and to prevent him from being impeached in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, if President Donald J. Trump is impeached, I believe America will witness the greatest revolution, and it will make the last Civil War look like a child's picnic in the United States of America. America's future as a constitutional republic hangs in the balance as I speak. And I'm not a doom and gloomist. I'm a realist. In fact, today at 1 o'clock, they're supposed to swear in the House and the U.S. Senate. And then at 2 o'clock, they will install Chief Justice, John Roberts, that will be the one that will be the judge overseeing process of the Senate's impeachment hearings for President Donald J. Trump. And I don't know what your thoughts are. Perhaps you'd like to call in and express your opinions, and that's fine. I'd love to listen to them. Perhaps you feel that it should go through a full-fledged Senate impeachment, where, when I say full-fledged, where you have the witnesses that Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi and others have refused to bring before, but now they wanted to bring. They're picking up little tads and bits and pieces. The latest one is they found a little shard of paper with something scribbled on it, no signature, no date, that supposedly somebody says something that would validate their charges against President Donald J. Trump. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the House is the one that has the responsibility for doing the impeaching. It is the Senate that has the responsibility then to hear the charges and to determine if they're valid or invalid. And the House now is demanding that the Senate carry out the work that they did not do because they had it on the fast track on the premise that if we do not remove the president, he's going to destroy the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray. As Christians, we need to absolutely seek the face of God. As Christians, we need to go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins, listen, and will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, America needs healing today, spiritual healing, as at no other time, I believe, in the history of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the issues that should be concerning for every Christian and for every conservative. And ladies and gentlemen, while Nancy Pelosi and the anti-American, anti-Trump march was taking place in the Capitol, our president was signing the nation's most important and most valuable trade bill. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but he signed the trade bill with China. It will redound to about $200 billion a year benefit in the economy for the United States of America, about $200 billion. Did you see the fake news talking about that? No. Did you see any of the CNN cameras showing the president signing that trade bill? No, because their focus is on the destruction of America and the destruction, the overthrow of the constitutionally elected president, President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad day when we see the lopsidedness as a result of the fake, phony, false drive-by news that's trying to have American citizens believe that somehow, some way, President Trump has done something wrong. Well, I'm thankful that we have the full transcript of that telephone call that validates the fact that nothing illegal, nothing improper, nothing beyond the, if you please, the powers of the president to do by way of that telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, the nation's most important, most valuable trade deal was taking place while these shenanigans were going on and the capital of the United States of America. Our president, ladies and gentlemen, today, as I speak, today, ladies and gentlemen, the President Donald J. Trump is signing by executive order an executive order that will protect the citizens, the students in public schools to pray. Did you know that? You've not heard it on phony drive-by news, the Clinton Network News or other networks. Here's the article. Trump administration moves to protect prayer in public schools and federal funds for religious organizations. The subtitle, the administration announced it is proposing rules in the Education Department and eight other federal agencies that would ease restrictions on religious groups that provide social services. Dateline, January 16, 2020, 10:25 a.m. President Trump, the Trump administration is moving to strengthen protections for students who want to pray or worship in public schools and proposing changes that would make it easier for religious groups to provide social services to access federal funds. Nine federal agencies, including the U.S. Department of Education, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Justice Department, are proposing rules that would reduce requirements for those religious organizations. The rules would lift an Obama-era executive order that compelled religious organizations to tell people that they serve that they cannot receive the same services for a particular social service. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos said her department plans to remind schools, listen, that students and teachers have a constitutional right to pray in public schools and that student-led religious organizations should get the same access to public facilities that secular ones receive. Our actions today will protect the constitutional rights of students and teachers and faith-based institutions, this article says. So there's some good things happening that we're not told by the fake news today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the news at the top of the hour. Be right back. Don't turn your dial.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.